As I mentioned earlier, the state is leading up to the individual school districts to decide, what do you want to do about masks? It's up to you. You figure it out. It's up to you. We're not going to mandate anything. We're not going to tell you what to do. You figure it out. So it's leading to a lot of passionate discussions, shall we say, with parents of all different perspectives weighing in, and they're trying to come up with school policy suburb by suburb. CPS has not decided yet what it is they're going to do. I mentioned there's also some conflicting guidance from different health and pediatric groups. While the CDC earlier this month said masks are not necessary for vaccinated students and staff, the American Academy of Pediatrics said that everyone over the age of 2 should wear a mask, regardless of vaccination status. That's just two different groups that people look to as they try to set policy. But we want to talk about this a little bit more. And Dr. DeStefano is with us. He's a pediatrician. DeStefani is with us. He is a pediatrician with Northwestern Medicine at DuPage Central Hospital. How you doing, Doc?
Very well. Thanks for having me, Anna.
I'm glad you're on. And I don't know that you could settle this for us, but I wonder what you can tell us. You've read so much about what's being, you know, what the advice is out there, what the guidance is. And as I mentioned, so many school districts just trying to make sense of it, figure out what's right, what's safest, what's accommodating to everybody. And your thoughts, what do you think?
Sure. So I guarantee I'm not smart enough to settle this for you. and again, the conflicting evidence is related to the fact that we're still learning about this virus and how it's transmitted, and it also continues to change as we speak. So the problem for us is that, you know, every time we come up with a recommendation, either the virus changes or, you know, we have better vaccine availability, or you name it, we have, you know, changes that are continuing to occur. One thing that we did find last year is that, you know, masking in schools worked very well. You know, I mean, the children that were able to go to school, there was very little transmission in school. It wasn't just masking. It was also, you know, physical distancing as well. And we saw very little transmission from, you know, student to student or teacher to student or student to teacher. When they did good contact tracing, most of the cases of students in school did not bring it home. They brought it from home to school. You know what I mean? And so masks actually worked very well last year in an environment where we didn't have much vaccine. And certainly currently, we are still not able to vaccinate children under 12 yet. That may be coming in the next few months, but it's not here yet. And I think that having children in school is also critical for us. One thing we also saw was that children not being in school was very difficult for many of them. There were some children that maybe preferred it and even thrived with it, but that was a minority. The vast majority really, you know, had much better experiences when they were able to be in the classroom with their peers, with their teachers. And so I think trying to preserve that is critical. I think from a science standpoint, I think there is reasonable logic to, you know, having children who are not vaccinated wearing masks and people who are vaccinated not having to wear a mask. But I'm not sure how you manage that within a school environment. You know, how do you determine who's been vaccinated, who's not, as they're walking down the hall with or without masks? And I also think that also potentially creates two classes of people in the school, you know, the masked and the maskless. And I think if we're going to have a policy, it probably needs to be pretty universal for all the students in that school. And, you know, while for the most part, for the vast majority of children, COVID, just like for the vast majority of adults, is a mild disease that doesn't cause much harm. The unfortunate reality also is that COVID is a tragedy for many other individuals and can cause hospitalization or death. Again, small percentage, but a big number. So I think trying to protect ourselves and our children from developing the infection is critical.
Dr. DeStefani, I'm just reading some text here. 262, and I think it's ridiculous. We're acting like having to wear a mask is such a giant sacrifice. What would these kids do if they lived in a third world country where they really had true hardships? My daughter wore a mask 5 days a week all year long, and she suffered no consequences. I think this is over-parenting. Then the other side, I'm sorry, but there is a 0.0001% chance statistically when I look at the science that my young child will actually die or get severely ill from this. Those are the parents that are saying, you know, what about choice? Leave it up to the individual parent to decide. You seem to be leaning against that as being a policy. This whole idea of just choice, leave it up to the parents. And some school districts are making that decision in the suburbs.
Sure, and I understand that, and I'm in favor of local control, but I just hope that, you know, logic is applied to this as much as possible. And I do think that different communities might be reasonable to have different policies, you know, depending on the attack rate and the prevalence of the virus in those communities. I think that's relevant for sure. I will say that I have been shocked about how well children have tolerated masks here in my office. Mm-hmm. I was expecting to have great difficulty having children keep their masks on, and even some of the under 2-year-olds were, you know, almost better than their parents on wearing the mask while they were here for the visit. Mm-hmm. Not that we were mandating that for under 2, but again, they really adapted to it very quickly, and, you know, I'm sure they don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy wearing my mask, but I certainly do it every day, but I don't think it's that much of a hardship relative to developing the disease, and I agree that the statistics, you know, it is a small percentage that have complications or die, and that you could say the same thing for influenza. You know what I mean? In a typical year, about 100 to 200 children die from influenza in the United States. There are no other infectious diseases that kill 100 kids a year. You know what I mean? In the first year of COVID, we had 300 deaths from COVID in children. So almost twice as many deaths from COVID as we see in a typical flu year. And so so it's not, you know, a benign disease for everyone. And the other reality is that the majority of those who have died from COVID in children were otherwise healthy children. They weren't the sickly ones or the people with underlying health conditions. They were mostly healthy children who developed an infection and died.
How sad. Yeah. 773 says it's well known that the fact that young kids do have a strong immune system. However, they're also known to be major spreaders of germs. Many parents are only worried about their own kids and not the community. What do we know about COVID spread from kids back to the house? It seems as if, was it the mask that was so effective, you think, doctor, in terms of preventing that from happening in real? We didn't hear of a lot of outbreaks.
Yeah. So I would say that some of the data has shown that in children, even though their symptoms are mild, they actually have a much higher load of virus in their nose or in their respiratory tract. And so they have the potential to be, you know, significant spreaders. They're also not very good about covering their mouth when they cough or sneeze or, you know, wipe their boogers all over the place, whatever you want to do. So from that perspective, you know, having a mask on, I think, does assist in not only, you know, protecting them from getting the disease from someone else, but also if they are developing, you know, illness that's not particularly symptomatic and therefore not being restricted to home, that they may not spread it as readily to others. Again, masks are also not perfect for preventing spread. You know, you can still get it despite wearing your mask, but it definitely makes a difference.
Dr. DeStefani, you said that we might see in the very near future a time when under 12s can get the vaccine. Any feeling of that you get from the community, the scientific community there, on a timeline?
So, you know, initially what was being said was maybe as soon as, you know, September, October, but apparently there are some guidelines within the emergency use authorization rules that for children, they want to have a longer period after the initial data kind of gets opened up and analyzed to make sure about, you know, longer term side effect concerns. So the last I've heard is midwinter is at this point, and I'm not sure what midwinter even means.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it seems as if I'm also hearing, will they mandate it? Will it be a mandate as long as it's emergency approved? Do you see that happening, or will they wait a little while?
Yeah, I would hope we wouldn't be see mandates for vaccine, particularly for something that is, you know, so new. And while we have great data, and again, you know, this vaccine in all age groups so far has had more data before it was brought to the general public, any vaccine we've ever produced ever, but it's still not as much data as the vaccines we've been using for 20 years that we have tens of millions of doses that we have data on. You know what I mean? So to mandate something that's still, you know, we're not quite sure about, you know, every possible side effect or concern, I just think that's, you know, creating more harm than potential good.
Yep, I hear you. Well, you're right. You didn't settle it, but you offered quite an educated perspective for us, Dr. Stefani. I'm so happy you came on the show this afternoon. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate you for making time for us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Dr. Tom DeStefani, I got it, pediatrician at Northwestern Medicine, State Central DuPage Hospital.